Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Our text verse will be verse number 18, but we'll be looking in the majority of the first chapter. Revelation chapter number 1. I want you to notice a word that God repeats. I'll show you that word first, and then we'll get into the text. Notice the word in verse 7, behold. Say that with me, behold. And then you notice there in verse number 18, and I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And Jesus said, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Notice with me in chapter 3. And verse number 11, behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And then notice with me in verse number 20 of chapter 3. What's that first word in verse 20 say at church? I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. One more time, could go to the 26th. All 26 places in Revelation where behold is. 26 times in Revelation you see the word behold. But one more time in chapter 5, verse number 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. What is it right there, church? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Back to chapter number 1. Verse number 18. I am he that liveth, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Behold, behold, are risen. Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, it's been already great to be in your house. The fellowship, the anointed singing, the prayers of the saints, it's been good. Lord, I'm nervous that I'd mess up. Because in myself, that's exactly what I'll do. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. And may you get the glory and the honor due unto yourself in this place this morning. May there be somebody here this morning that just got a little head knowledge, got a little religion, but they don't have Jesus. I pray you'd convict them and they'd get saved this Easter morning. Convict and convince, reprove and rebuke as only you can. You be the preacher. Preach and say what I cannot say. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we the saints would rejoice in our risen Lord. And we'd worship our risen Lord. And we'd joy in Jesus this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now the book of Revelation itself is the word that I just showed you. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what revelation is. Revelation is not about prophecy. Revelation is about a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And really the whole book of Revelation is this big neon light that says, behold Jesus, look at him. Everybody, when they get into Revelation, they all, and there's prophecy there, it's a prophecy book, but they get so enamored by the prophecy that they don't even see the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what Revelation's all about. It's about the person of Jesus Christ. And God's saying, I've got one book that I'm going to show you who Jesus really is. I'm going to show you the Jesus that's risen, ascended, and that's reigning and ruling. Read Revelation. And you'll find the revelation, the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Behold it. Behold our risen Lord. Some years ago, they had those boats that would go down the Mississippi, those paddle boats. And these two boys were getting on this paddle boat, and they said, these two boys were getting on this paddle boat and getting set up, and other people were getting on the boat, and these two teenage boys saw the captain coming. And they started yelling, "Hey, there's the captain! The captain's coming, y'all! The captain's coming, y'all! There's the captain!" And the captain got closer. "Hey, captain, good to see you." Man, they were hugging him and said, "Hey, he's the captain." And as he sat back down, one of the gentlemen on the boat said, "Why are you saying all that about the captain?" He said, "Well, when I was a little boy, I've grown up a little bit now, but when I was a little boy, I was rambunctious on this boat, and I fell in to the Mississippi. And the captain of the boat stopped what he was doing and dived into the Mississippi and saved my life. And so I just want to tell everybody about the captain." Hey, hey, y'all listening to me? Or do I need to preach that? That's what we're doing. That's why we're left here. Hey, behold the captain of our salvation. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that's what John's doing under inspiration of God. He's saying, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lion, though, too. And the Lion. I'll tell you what, he came as a lamb, but he's coming back as a lion. It's not what you expect, friend. It's going to be different the next time he comes. See, I didn't hear about that on Easter last time I went to church. Well, you're fixing to hear about it in the Word of God. He came as a lamb. Praise God. He went to the lamb. He went as a lamb to the tree. Amen. But when he's coming back as a lion, vicious and victorious. That's the Jesus that we see in the Bible, in Revelation. Behold the captain. Behold Jesus. Let's look at it real quick. Write it down. Number one, behold the grace of our risen Lord. Behold the grace of our risen Lord. Verse number 4, John to the 7 churches which are in Asia. What's that word? Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. That's Jesus. He is and he was and he is to come. And from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, unto the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him, we're going to hone in on this right here, ready? Unto him, 1, that loved us, 2, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, 3, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And let the church say, amen. The grace of our risen Lord. We're going to look at those 3 things that I spotted pointed out to you. He loved us, washed us, and made us kings and priests. That's all those 3 things are only by the sheer grace of God. Number 1, in your Bible, it says he loved us. Unto him, that's Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, verse 5. Now, why did he say past tense? He loved us, right? Does your Bible say loved us? If it does, say amen. Then you got the Word of God. He loved us. Why did he say loved us? Because he wants to remind us of 2 things. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He loved you before the foundations of the world. Before the foundations of the world. And 2, this is just my opinion. I think he wanted to remind us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, there was a time when I was on my way to hell, but he loved me, and I saw that he loved me, and I received him by faith and repentance, and now I'm saved. And he wants to remind us by using past tense loved that there was a day when we were lost, and I think sometimes we forgot what we used to be. He loved us when we were unlovable. Past tense. Christ never started loving anybody. He's never started loving a boy or a girl. He loved you before time began. His love began in his heart before you were even formed, friend. Come up here real close and listen to me. He doesn't love you because you're valuable. You're valuable because he loves you. And why does God love you? By sheer grace.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Say, why does God love you? Grace. Wonderful things. In the Bible I see, this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Say amen, church. Is there anything any greater? So I want to get in those deep doctrines. We need to go back to the ABCs. Are you glad this morning on Easter Sunday morning that Jesus loved a sinner like you? Say amen. That's the dearest, that Jesus loves me. Preach it to yourself in the morning. Jesus loves me. Preach it to yourself in the afternoon. Jesus still loves me. And when you go to bed at night, tell yourself, it's true, it's true, it's true. Jesus loves me. Amen. Say, whoa, you've lost it. You want me to sing it for you? You don't get the idea either, friend, that you make yourself lovable. Now, with people, it's that way. Oh, if I can make myself into somebody, then she'll start loving me. If I can make myself into somebody, he'll start liking me. If I can make myself somebody, the church will love me. Religion will start loving me. If I can make myself something, that corporation or company that I work for, they'll start liking me. Let me tell you something about God. He's not like man. You don't have to make yourself somebody or something and have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed for God to love you. God always has loved you. And while you were a sinner and while you cussed his name and blasphemed his name and did all the evil, he was standing right over you and said, I still love you, boy. I still love you, girl. My love has not failed. I'm still loving you all the way to the end. That's only found in Jesus. That's his love. He loved us. Now, people, we're different. You say what you want to. We're different. But God's not that way. So let me put it to you this way. When a child comes into the house, his mama doesn't wash the child so she can love the child, does she? No. The mother loves the child, so the mother washes the child. I should know something about that. Definitely Miss April knows something about that. We got six of them to wash, amen? But we wash them because we love them. We don't wash them so we can love them. You might get that after a while. You see, God doesn't change us so he can love us. He loves, it's the exact opposite. The love becomes before the washing. So that's nowhere in the Bible. You're wrong. Verse 5 said he loved us and then he washed us. Boy, I'm telling you what, you don't have to do anything, and Jesus still loves you. Glory to God. I'm going to jump up and down until I break this floor right here. I'm so excited. You don't have to do anything. People think, well, I'm going to go to church, get things put together. That's your problem. I'm going to start going to a Baptist church. I'm going to go to this church and get my family put together, get my life put together, and be something for God. But you stuck in religion. You can't please God in your flesh. You can't do anything to please. All we are is just a bunch of sinners and wretches. But God loved us in the middle of it all on the cross. You see, you can't do it that way. I want you to understand that God loves you for who you are without any restrictions. And God demonstrated, proved, and manifested and commended his love for you on the cross of Calvary. And while you were yet sinners, he died in your place. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He loved us by his grace. He loosed us by his grace. The Bible says he washed. Now, you're changing the words. I do like alliteration, but that's what that word washed means. Do you see washed in verse number 5? If you do, say amen. He washed. Well, what happens if you get a shirt dirty? You better get something that'll loose them stains up. You better get that triple detergent. I don't know. What do y'all use? I would have no idea. I haven't washed a load of laundry since I was probably 22. I'm blessed. Amen. You know, I want to tell you something about all of us. We all got one thing in common. All of us are sinners. Don't stick your nose up high. Only difference it could be is you're a sinner saved by the sheer grace of God. But all of us are sinners by nature. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We all got pollution. We all got dirt and grime. And the idea here, by being washed from our sins in his blood. Notice that terminology. Washed us from our sins in his blood. Got it? This is all by grace. He loves us and he looses us from the pollution, from the iniquity. Now, I'm a pretty absent-minded person. Oh, I thought I'd get a better response on that right there. That was a good opportunity for you to go nuts on your pastor. I'm a pretty absent-minded person, and I'll leave pins sticking here, and I'll leave pins sticking here. And April, she gets so excited when she gets to wash one of those pins with the whole load of laundry so she can get red ink on the whole thing. She gets real spiritual then. Yeah, she's singing the hallelujah chorus, my hind leg. She gets upset, and she should. I haven't done it in a while, though, honestly. Better knock on wood. But you'll get that stain, and nothing will get it out. So I got something that'll get it out. I'm sure some of your home remedies do work. But I'm telling you, the only thing that'll get sin out is the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you something. We've all got rags. If you're not in Christ, you're in your filthy rags. Say, that's something right there. It's nothing compared to what God sees you if you're not in his blood. If you're not in his righteousness, that's a filthy rag. Say, that's us. That's us without Jesus. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. And I'm telling you what, it'll get so nasty, it'll start eating away on you. You'll start getting holes, putrefying sores, the Bible says. Wounds, open wounds that cannot be mended. And your garments are stinking. This thing even smells. It's nasty. God knows if you're in him or you're in your filthy rags. Say, I'm better than the next guy. All your righteousness, your best things are as filthy rags. Filthy rags. Say, God can't clean something this dirty. Laugh for Jesus. It's all right. I like those holy laughters. God can't clean something this bad. Oh, yes, he can. Just look to the cross. Look to the blood. He can make it clean again. Yeah, he can't remove this. He can't say to all these stains, get out of here. Loose from that man. Make new creature in Christ. He can't make it new. Dark was the stain that we could not hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you can be today. Hallelujah! The blood can make you white as snow. And this is the only way you're getting in the presence of a holy God in heaven one day is to have your garments spotless in the blood of Jesus Christ. Every man can go from this to this. Believe the blood that Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. Oh, that's why we say it's precious blood. Precious blood. Oh, excuse me. I done took my mic off. Precious blood of Jesus. You might be here this morning. There's no way. I've been too bad. Well, God knows. God knows. God knows who you are. Just a little time out right here. God knows who you are and where you've been, and he loved you through all that. He loved you before all that. And all he's saying is, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Your coming's, your not coming's the only thing from hindering you to be clean. Clean in Jesus. He loves us. He loosed us. You say, it couldn't get any better. Let me tell you something about Jesus. It keeps on getting better and better the more you know him. Most people, when you get to know him more, it gets worse. But when you get to know Jesus more, it gets better and better. He lifts us. This is all by grace. He loves us, he loosed us, and he lifted us. Verse number 6. And he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. If you're in Christ and you've been in a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, you're somebody. It's all right. You're somebody. You're a king and a priest. Hey, don't bow your head. Look up at me and stand up straight in Jesus and say, I've been to Calvary. I'm a king and a priest. Say amen. Lift your hand towards heaven and say, I'm redeemed. Come on now. I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're somebody in Jesus. You're sorry in yourself. You're a wretch in yourself, but forget all that. You've been to Calvary, and you're a king and a priest in Jesus. Hallelujah. You might as well call you Prince Paul. Might as well call you Queen Amy. Royal blood, amen? Right? Don't bow your head and don't have the idea, I can't do anything for God. Nobody loves me. Well, nobody, who cares if nobody loves you? God loves you. God washed you. And you're a king and a priest in God's sight. Hallelujah for it. I'm happy in Jesus alone. I don't know about anybody else. That Bible says you're next of kin to the Holy Trinity. And Jesus is not ashamed to call you family. Some people might even not want to even ask you to lead in silent prayer, let alone prayer. Who cares? You're a king and a priest because he washed you. And when he washes you, he'll lift you up. Here's a proof text. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Behold the grace of our risen Lord. Behold the glory of our risen Lord. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He cometh with clouds. What are these, rain clouds? Are they storm clouds? Do you know there's such thing as glory clouds in the Bible? Shekinah glory. God's glory was spoken of as a cloud in Scripture. Amen? The Shekinah glory of God. The Bible says the clouds received them up out of their sight. Receive the clouds, received them up out of their sight. Acts 1:8. Yeah, that's the cloud of the glory of God. The same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. He's going to come back again with clouds of glory. This is the outshining of God's great glory. I've been in some services before, and I'll be quick. I felt like I was in a cloud. It was thick. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you've just never been there. But I mean, it was thick. I mean, I felt it. But I tell you what, with Jesus coming back, he's coming back with the glory cloud. And every eye shall see him, and those that pierced him are going to wail. That sounds a little different. Sounds like I hadn't heard about this before. Well, listen in real good. There's two words I want you to see. Pierce and wail. Those that pierced him and crucified him are going to wail because of him. Wail means they're going to cry out. They're going to in torment. Those that pierced him are going to be the ones that wail because of him. The first time he came to a tree, the next time he's coming off his throne to be the judge of the whole earth. The first time he came as a lamb, the next time he's coming as a lion. The first time he came in crucifixion, the next time he's coming in coronation. The first time he came lowly, the next time he's coming highly exalted. The first time he came weak, but the next time he's coming as a warrior. The first time he came in peace, the next time he's coming in war. Not what you've expected, not what you've heard from your TV preacher. You know, they're telling me these days, and it's true business, that these popular non-denominational crackpot preachers are leaving out the words blood of Jesus during their Easter talks. We didn't leave it out, did we? You wonder why we didn't leave it out? Because it's precious to those that are redeemed by the blood. I'm not leaving out what Jesus said. He's coming back as a warrior. He's coming back as a lion. And the people are going to wail to beat the chest from lamenting. They're going to wail in anguish. Anguish. He was slain as a lamb, but he's going to come back as a lion. Mighty God, majestic, powerful, ruling and reigning, Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus is going to settle the score, friend. Because he has to, because he's true and he's just. People are going to wail because of him. This little smiley Jesus is not the true image you get in Scripture of who Jesus is. It's not true. They're not giving you the whole counsel of God. America's in trouble, friend. America's in trouble. America is on the brink of disaster because of our rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ and revealed truth found in the Word of God. We're in trouble. Jesus is coming soon. You know what happened this weekend, right? Y'all know what happened this weekend, right? If you don't, welcome to the news segment of the sermon. Our president declared today to be National Transgender Awareness Day. On this day where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he declared this day to be National Transgender Day of Visibility. I call all Americans to lift up their lives and voices for transgender people throughout all the nation and work together to avoid violence based on gender identity of all days on the day of Easter. And now they're fighting to pass something where on Easter we need to eliminate all religious symbols. Let me tell you something. When I was on the internet last night and I read that for myself, that statement that he made or passed or whatever, there was a symbol on the White House seal at the top of the letter. And guess what was next to it? An Easter bunny. Well, that offends me. I'd rather have a cross there. That offends me. I'd rather have the cross and the blood dropping from it that tells the world Jesus saves. You got a bunny there. Come on now. Don't be sold by this stuff. Jesus is coming soon. And they're going to wail because of him. The truth shall set you free if you'll come to the truth. Say, I can't hear him coming. Well, I can. Can you hear him coming? You ever heard that train, be by that train track and say, I can hear the train coming. I can't hear it. I can hear it. Oh yeah, I can faintly hear it. But some that have been in their King James Bible right here, they can hear Jesus coming real good. You just stick your nose in this and watch Fox News once a month and you'll find out real quick, Jesus is coming soon. The risen, reigning Lord is going to settle the score. Say, that's real distant. Are you ready for him? I ain't talking about the president. I ain't talking about America. Are you ready to meet him? Have you been to Calvary and had your sins washed away in his blood? Have you repented that you're a sinner and been to Calvary? Hey, 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 this day's more than bunnies and bonnets. It's more than eggs and candy. It's more than dresses and suits. And it's more than good breakfasts and more than good dinners. It's about a Jesus that's coming back to rule and reign upon this earth again. The grace and the glory. Are you ready right now to meet him? Are you ready right now to meet him? Say, could you say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And if you think I'm fixing to be done, just buckle up a little bit more, okay? I'm not fixing to be done. Don't close your Bibles. There's still more about Jesus we got to talk about. Are you ready? Could you say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, I'm ready for you. The grace, the glory. Now, John, in verse 9, he gets a glimpse of Jesus like none other. He gets Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty in verse 8. He's clothed with garments down to his foot, verse 13, girt about the paths with a golden girdle. Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Whoa. And his feet like unto brass. And if they turned as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Who else can hold in their hand seven stars? So, well, that's just figurative. Let me tell you, my God, Jesus, and Jesus is my God. Jesus is God. And he's big enough to hold seven stars in his right hand. But the bigger miracle than all that, he can save a soul from hell. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in the strength. And when I saw him, this is where we're going. He said, when I saw him, I popped my bubble gum. I fell down. I fell at his feet as dead. He passed out right there. He couldn't take it. That was the glory of God that we just preached about. No man can stand in the presence of God. No man can stand in his glory. He collapsed. He fell out. He passed out. He was so overwhelmed by the glory, the majesty, and the awesomeness of the risen, ascended Lord. He just fell flat on his feet as a dead man. But it's not over. And I'm glad the story's not over. Look what Jesus does to him. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. Hallelujah. He was overwhelmed by it. But I want to go to the next point. The grace of our risen Lord. The glory of our risen Lord. But now the gentleness of our risen Lord. What does Jesus say to him? He said, fear not. Peter said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And Jesus says, fear not. Jacob got in his presence, and Jesus said to him, fear not. He told those shepherds when they saw the glory of God on that Christmas night, he said to them, fear not, because there is no fear in love. Yeah, boy, I tell you what, but perfect love casteth out all fear. There's no fear in God's love. You don't have to be as scared of Jesus in all of his glory even. Unless you rebel and don't repent. Be fearful and know that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. Unless you just outright reject him and won't come to his saving grace. John felt his gentleness. John just fell out. None of us can stand in his presence. But his gentleness was right there. He just reaches down and said, get up, boy. Get up, son. I'll make you new. I'll help you. He just lays his right hand on him. What's his right hand? Hand of authority, hand of power. Jesus, by the way, has something that he does all the time. He just goes around everywhere touching people. Hey, if you've been touched by Jesus, say amen. Lift your hand up if Jesus has touched you. Amen. Well, that's what Jesus did to you. And he did it to the blind man, and the blind saw. He did it to the ears of the deaf, and the deaf heard. He did it to the limbs of the crippled, and the crippled limbs were made straight. How about that leper? Everybody around here, if that leper walked in that door in Bible days, and Jesus was right there, we'd all tell Jesus, don't touch him. Don't touch him. Don't touch him. And we'd be running away from the leper. As the leper walked through the door, he would say, unclean, unclean, unclean. Don't touch me. And Jesus comes right up to him and just hugs him. How about that? Jesus touches the untouchable. Jesus loves the unlovable. Jesus hugs the unhuggable. Remember them rags? You want me to get them back out?
No.
You remember those rags? Those rags. He said, that don't bother me. That's why I died for you. That's why I loved you. That's why I went to Calvary. Them rags don't bother him. Not at all. That's what Jesus went around doing. That's why that song got so popular by the Gaithers. I didn't say a cuss word. It's all right. He touched me. And oh, the joy filled my soul. He touched me. Jesus is not ashamed of you. He loves you. He touched me. The grace, the glory, and the gentleness where he says, fear not. And now the government of our risen Lord. Behold the government of our risen Lord. After John experiences his gentleness, he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth. Amen. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Government. Keys. Yeah, he has the keys. Keys speak of authority. They speak of possession. They speak of privilege. They speak of rights. Keys open and keys close. Keys, they liberate and they also imprison. And Jesus says, look, man has two needs or two enemies. What are they? Verse 18, hell and death. And I've got the keys to hell and death. How to get them keys, brother? I'm glad you asked. He got those keys when he laid that napkin neatly aside. He grabbed those keys of death and hell when he arose from the grave. Amen. That's how he got those keys. During that bodily resurrection after his substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary. Oh, Jesus was taken captive by death that he might lead captivity captive. When Jesus rose from the dead, he pulled death from the throne. He threw death to the prison floor. He ignited a star of hope. He put his heel on the throat of the devil. And he reached down and pulled the stinger out of death. And he broke the crown of death. And he took the keys of death and hell and became our risen, living, victorious Savior. And he lives forevermore. God didn't bat an eye those dark days. God was in complete control of his darling, beloved son. God knew while the devil thought they had Jesus. God knew while the world hoped they got him. God knew while religion wondered. I wonder if we got him. Death said, we got him. Satan said, he's done. Religion said, no more Jesus. Evil said, that's all, folks. But God said something different. God said, this is not the end. And God raised up his son from the dead according to the scriptures. And when he did that, he got the keys that we need. He got the keys that we need. And still says what he says in verse number 17 and 18. I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He has the keys. He has the keys for you. He is the key. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You might be living. Actually, I'm pretty sure everybody in here is living. You might be living physically, but you might never tasted the resurrection. You might never tasted life. You might be living, but you might be dead. You might be breathing, but you don't got a heart. You don't have God's new heart. You might know some things about Jesus since you got smack dab born in the Bible Belt. Say amen. You might acknowledge some things. The Bible says the devil's. How's it go? Believe and tremble. They even scared of the thing. They even know good and well it's serious business. The devils believe and tremble. But they don't believe and repent. They don't believe unto life everlasting. You can't take your mama's salvation with you to heaven. You can't take your daddy's salvation with you to heaven. You've got to get your own. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hey, this brother, he ain't preaching on Easter. No, I'm preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now is the day of salvation. And whosoever will may come. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm asking you, do you have your sins washed away in the blood? Only perfect people go to heaven, Miss Lynn. No, listen. Only perfect people go to heaven. I'm going to heaven. And if you're going to heaven, we're going to heaven. Because Jesus made us perfect. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Brand new. That's from the dead to the living. From the graveyard to glory. Hallelujah. Is it true of you? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. Confession is made unto salvation. Today's the day of salvation. He says, I am alive forevermore, and I've got the keys. I've got the key. He's got your key. You've got to come to him. He's got your keys to death and hell. What will you do with it? Years ago in Chicago, there was a nightclub called the Gates of Hell. Can you imagine a nightclub being called the Gates of Hell? Listen here real good. They should all be called the Gates of Hell. Say amen. Amen. Maybe it's named pretty well. The Gates of Hell. A young man wanted to go to that nightclub one day, and he asked a stranger in Chicago, asked a stranger on the street, can you tell me how to get to the Gates of Hell? Just happened to be on the same street, there was a church that was called Calvary Church. The stranger said to the young man that wanted to go to the Gates of Hell, he said to him, I can tell you how to go to the Gates of Hell. Just go right past Calvary and you'll come to the Gates of Hell. Just go right past Calvary and you'll come to the Gates of Hell. You heard about Calvary. You heard about the blood, and I love you, but God loves you 1,000 more times than I love you. He died there for you on the cross. Come to Calvary. But if you go right by Calvary, you might not get another shot. You might go straight to the Gates of Hell. You know how a man goes to hell? When he walks right by Calvary too many times. When he goes right by Calvary too many times. Today is the day of salvation. And Christians, listen. Listen, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all to Jesus. Lift your hand up and say, that's me, brother. If I had 1,000 lives, I'd give them all to Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he worthy? And he lives, child of God. We have hope. Behold his grace, his glory, his gentleness, his government, and that's the end. He reigns and he rules and he's alive and well. He say, I think he's knocking on my door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Say, how come he's knocking on my door right now? Because it's not religion. It's real. He's knocking because he's alive. He's living. That's the reason he's knocking. Hey, who had Jesus knock on your door one day? Say amen. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I think somebody, they're getting that knock right now. But if you walk by Calvary, there's no promise you'll get another shot. You walk by Calvary, you'll go straight to the Gates of Hell. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Behold, as you stand with me, behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and hell. Jesus' grace is wonderful. Jesus' glory is majestic. His gentleness is like none other. He loves you, my friend. He says to you, fear not the way you are. And his government is over all the world and over you. And you'll stand before the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Every knee shall bow to him and every tongue shall confess. But better now than then, I promise you. Say, Brother Justin, I know without a shadow of a doubt if I died right now or if Jesus would come back in clouds, I'm ready to meet the Lord. I'm ready to meet Jesus. Without a shadow of a doubt, I'm ready to meet Jesus. I'm in Christ. My life's been changed. I'm a new creature. I know and have assurance that I'm going to heaven when I die. Lift your hands up and say glory to God. Oh, that was weak. Say glory to God. It's all right. All the glory goes to him. Say, Brother Justin, I can't lift my hand up. I can't even speak a word. I don't know that I'm saved. I'm not living the life that I ought to live. I'm not what I ought to be. I need to be born again. I need to be made new. So, Brother Justin, pray for me. Anybody here, lift your hand up and say, pray for me. Anybody? Anybody? What about it, friend? Are you ready to meet him? God loves you. He died on that cross for you, and he wants to make you new. Anybody here say, Brother Justin, pray for me. The saints are praying. Jesus is at the right hand of God praying for you. Say, Brother Justin, I know that I'm saved, but I'm living a weak Christian life. And I need to really live for Jesus. I've drifted far away, but I really need to come home. This is about ridiculous. I've been where you're at. This is about ridiculous. I need to come back to Jesus. I've been a prodigal, and I want to embrace him. I want to embrace him, and I want to serve him better. Anybody here this morning, lift your hand up on this Easter Sunday morning. Anybody say, I want to serve him better, lift your hand up. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's good. See those hands. I see that hand. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are and what you do for us. We give you the glory. Lord, I believe there's somebody here this morning. I'm not trying to pressure anybody. I'm just feeling there's somebody here this morning, Lord, that needs to do business with God. They need to get born again. I could be wrong. You know the hearts of all men. But Lord, I pray you'd convict them. And I pray they'd come to Christ before it's everlastingly too late. Do the work that I cannot do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.